So, the last session of the day, and without doubt, the most content in one session. So, we have a nice challenge. We're tuning Windows 10 for VDI, and it's a big, big topic. And in the upcoming 45 minutes, we'll take you on our discovery, how we learn to tune Windows 10, and all the best practices that apply. The great thing about this session is that if you are responsible for some way or form that you're doing it now already migrated your VDI environment to Windows 10, or you're going to migrate to Windows 10, I think you will like the content of the session. So much that if you apply all the best practices, you guaranteed get a salary raise. So that's from this session. Yep. No problem. So I'm Jeroen van den Kamp. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for Login VSI and Login Consulting. We also have a German department. Some of you may know consulting. Login VSI is quite well known because in the VDI space, it's the number one go-to tool to test and do load simulation benchmarks on VDI environments. And we've been doing this for a very, very long time. Oh, the clicker. Let me make sure that's working. We're good. Here we go. So, what are we talking about today? We'll talk about shortly what VDI like a pro is. That's not really important because what's really important is how we tested with Login VSI so you get a better feel of the results. What were the previous results that we once talked about? We did some previous results about Windows 10 tuning. And we learned a lot, but the most important thing we learned is that we knew nothing. We really needed to deep dive and to learn different things. So we really also talk about VMware's OS optimization tool. We love it. It's amazing. It's so good. Who's running Mac here? Anyone? No Mac users? So if you want to tune your, some of you are probably running VirtualBox or Parallels or whatever, Fusion. If you want to tune your Windows image for performance, you can use OSOT too. But the great news is you can use OSOT if you use a native Microsoft VDI solution. You can use OSOT also when you use, for instance, Citrix and Desktop. It's really a great tool to tune your image. Really interesting. And of course, then we talk about and do a deeper and deep dive in the new best practices that we're learning. So VDI like a pro is basically something that we started within Login VSI because there's one thing really special about our company. We have a unique audience. Our products are used by vendors in their labs to do R&D, to develop their VDI solutions. They're used by vendors in the marketing. They're used by partners to make sure that what they're delivering in projects is okay, you know, the sign-off, like, yeah, we can host 10,000 users. You want to find that out before you roll into production, right? And we have a lot of customers that are using VSI and our products all the time. So we see all VDI environments, every one of those. Really, really complicated ones, really, really that's far out there. And it's, we realize that although we are focused on performance with our tools, is that there's so many best practices, we needed to be more vocal about it and talk about the things that are not directly related to technically to our product, but more about just general best practices for VDI. And I think we can go a long way because honestly, it's incredible how many times we come into an environment and there are well-educated people there, but it's just so complex. There's so many small details. The details are in the devil, especially with VDI. It's worth to share these best practices. So that's what VDI like pro is. And one of the first things we did is actually go out and really deep dive into testing of Windows 10. And this was really an interesting ride. It was really, really interesting also because we actually did some tests with Project VSC a long time ago on Windows 8, but there was not a lot of interest. Who's running right now Windows 8 in their VDI environment? I see for the camera, zero hands. Yeah. And that's the reality. We all skipped Windows 8 for many reasons. The reality is also that from a consumer perspective and from a business perspective, although Windows 10 is a little bit scary because it's updated so much more often than regularly, we do like Windows 10. There's real, we get positive traction again in the Windows world and people are willing to. You know, a Windows 10 adoption is doing well. And we see, we did a lot of surveys. The majority of you are migrating to Windows 10 this year or next year. Simple as that. The reality, it's a huge difference from Windows 7. There are many more new features, and as you will learn, there are many new best practices. We need to even unlearn best practices that we learned before we started with VDI tuning for Windows 7. Our products are, with Login VSI, basically we have three products, but we have two products that are about performance. First is PI, with virtual users probing the production environment to see if everything is working okay. But we're talking about Login VSI. So all the results that you see are discovered with Login VSI. Now, some of you might don't know our product, so I need to explain this in a couple of minutes. Login VSI is a load simulation tool. We have virtual users. And they have turnkey benchmark. You're up and running within hours, and you can load test your VDI environment. The great thing, it's completely solution agnostic. So you want to test Vue, Citrix, Microsoft, we don't care what hypervisor, it's completely agnostic to the VDI solution. And the great thing is we do something different from all the other benchmarking tools because we actually have VSI Max. And I need to explain this to you a little bit because VSI Max will be actually the story that we use in our presentation the whole time. So what do we do? Now let's imagine we have a server and this is our server. We change the configuration, so we do the layout of the token and actually we installed Office 2010. Then our Login VSI preps the users, they're waiting, and then we start a test, so they start boarding. And actually, while we're doing the test, these virtual users are using Office, they're having a coffee break, they're not continuously using Office, right? Users are also doing something else, like being on the phone and stuff like that. They use Internet Explorer, all kinds of PDF, all the generic Office applications. And they do a pretty good job of it, because they are pretty realistic. They're not exactly like you are, but they come close to what we see in real world. And we get more users on it. And we have a little metric, it's called VSI, the VSI metric. And what we do is we have a special metric where we just shortly measure the response time of that VM. So the more busy it is that VM still responsive? Is it still working okay? And we do that on multiple levels. And while we're doing that, we're actually pushing. So we're adding more use to the system. We actually go over the limit. Well, if you don't have to, but we're also interested to find the limit. So if we go over the limit, it means that we can start counting them, like how many users start really complaining. For instance, with Office 2010, you can clearly see this is the VSI metric. It went here over a certain threshold. And because of that, at 143 users per server was the maximum capacity. So that's the one you want to get. Now we make a change. So we get a server again, we do a different layout, Office 2013. We again add more users, we count them, and ta-da, oops. The amount of users that went down was quite dramatic. And actually that's what we see in practice, because Office 2013, in comparison to Office 2010, is a huge resource hog. So by not looking at CPU, but really looking at the responsiveness of the VMs, we can now make a clear statement. If you change something, it will impact VSI Max. It will have an effect on a percentage of the amount of users. So the story is, with VSI Max, with Office 2010, we were at 100% users, and after installing Office 2013, we went down almost 20%. And this is a great way to make comparisons. So this is also our methodology to find out how effective tuning is. We do different configurations, we tune, we make comparisons, and we'll also take a look under the hood. So about our test hardware, we use generic Dell PowerEdge servers with plenty of memory, plenty of cores, plenty of threads, local storage we use, and we had vSphere 6 running using VMware Horizon 6. Don't worry about the results. This applies for everyone. The tests that we did, the majority are not specific to VMware Vue. You care about these results just as much if you're using Xen Desktop or even maybe Microsoft VDI. What we also did is that we used our knowledge worker workload. That's our most used profile that you can immediately use that uses a broad set of Office applications. We configured two virtual CPUs and most of the times 2 gigabytes of memory per VM. And we did, for both Windows 10 and 7, we used 64-bit. By the way, like I said, we used Office 2013, 32-bit. Windows and Office are fully patched. We make sure that everything is up to date. We use Internet Explorer 11 because we want to compare. We didn't use Edge, and Edge doesn't have a lot of traction. Not yet, it's growing. And what's also important is that we use stateful VMs, so things are stored. They're not rebooted, reverted to their original state. This is important. If you have an environment that is stateless, the results that you will see will be worse. Stateless environments revert back to their old state, and this means that performance differences often are even bigger in stateless environments. So it's not better, it's the differences from tuning is bigger. So also important is we automate our tests. We really automate it because we're not just running one test. Actually, every test that you see was repeated 10 times fully automatic. Why do we do 10 times? One of the mistakes is that if you do just one test, how big is the chance that something went wrong and something found out? And most of the times it goes okay, but if you just do one or two tests, there's a chance that actually something went bad in the background. And remember that we are pushing the server. So, you know, it could also be like a fluke result. So that's why we take 10 tests to make sure that our results are very accurate. I think we have, on a VDI perspective, the most accurate results in the market right now. All very important, of course, we reboot all the hosts, making sure that every time we do the tests, everything is reset. We wait for 15 minutes so the machine can idle and come to rest, and then it go. Also important, majority of the tests, not all, are executed in Login VSI direct desktop mode. So we run the VMs on the server, but without a remoting protocol, because we're not interested in the remoting protocol differences, we're interested in the differences on the operating system level. So the majority of the results are applicable to Vue, Citrix, and Microsoft, and any other solution. So in the old days, we had Project VRC, and Ruben is here. We actually stopped with Project VRC because we have too many projects on our plate. We're still collaborating, but some of you might know Project VRC is where we already did a lot of performance investigations. And it's really good to refer to our last webinar where we had about it, where we just did a preview of the Windows 10 test. So what we started doing is actually comparing Windows 7 to Windows 10. So what we did, we deployed Windows 10 and Windows 7 on the server. We did not any tuning, so that's why we call it default installation. And we look at the processor time. So out of the box, Windows 7 and Windows 10 have almost identical processor behavior out of the box. If you look at the commands, they're also pretty much identical. There are some differences. So without tuning, you can see that orange is Windows 10. There's a little bit higher read I/O per second profile. The throughput is also higher, so in megabytes it's also higher, of course. Writes is quite identical, but you can see Office 2010 actually increases more quickly, and also the throughput. Here you can see that Windows 10 actually has a higher write profile, clearly, than Windows 10. But be careful, this is untuned, out of the box. I hope that nobody does it like this. Please don't. Don't do it like this. But it's interesting to see, like, how's the native behavior of Windows 7 and Windows 10, and how do they compare? So overall, we saw that 12%, if you look at CPU, but if you look at the response time of the operating system, we could clearly see that Windows 10 was 12% lower in VSI Max than Windows 7. So even they have the same CPU profile, the responsiveness overall, there's more overhead, there's more things happening within Windows 10, a lot more things happening. That means that if you really compare responsiveness of both machines, Windows 10 is doing 12% less. So this means if you move to Windows 10 and you wouldn't tune anything, you need 12% more capacity in your server environment. If we fully tune the image, and you have to realize that we did this with the things that we knew then. We now know a lot more, and we're going to talk about that. But we did some tuning, and we were really flabbergasted by the results. We were not happy, to be honest, when we presented this, because we realized that this was a little bit Pandora's box. Good results, but we couldn't answer why. Why do we see those results? So looking fully tuned, and what do we mean by tuning? We disabled boot services for Windows 7, we disabled Windows services, we disabled scheduled tasks, we disabled Windows components, we do some registry tuning, etc. NTFS lost access update timestamp, etc. For Windows 10, we disabled services, A lot more services, a lot more scheduled tasks, and a lot more components. We removed the AppX applications. That's the modern apps applications that nobody uses, or not in the business environment at least. We cleaned up, so we did a lot more stuff. We did that with the knowledge that we then had. And we started comparing Windows 7 and Windows 10. Fully tuned, you can clearly see that if you fully tune Windows 10 and Windows 7 with the old best practices, is that Windows 10 had 10% higher CPU utilization than Windows 7. The commands are clearly higher. And this is really interesting. We were flabbergasted by this because Windows 7, if you tune it, the I/O profile is really changing dramatically. And we didn't see that dramatic change with Windows 10. So we tuned it, but we did see a change on the I/O profile, but not that dramatic. And we'll explain later why. That's why we needed to do more research. We get more read I/O per second during the test. We get more writes, almost double. So, there was a very important conclusion here, is that even though the best practices are not perfect and we still need to learn a lot, we also found out that these results actually are real-world results, and they do apply. So you can tune more and understand. We cannot explain why this was happening and what's happening, but the lesson in here is definitely if you're going to Windows 10, you need to upgrade your storage because you're doubling your writes. That's a pretty big deal. So modern storage solution is definitely the way to go. Reads was similar. Write megabyte throughput is also, again, you see it's a lot higher. Interestingly, if you tune Windows 7 to the max and you compare that to Windows 10 fully tuned with the old best practices, we still have 12% difference. So, you know, fully untuned, they have the same parallel. Okay, but we were not happy with the results. We needed to do additional research, like what are the good choices that we can make. So we need to do a deeper dive. And I already explained in the beginning, we investigated, and we were flabbergasted, we investigated the VMware OS optimization tool. And what's really, really interesting is that it's actually a pretty good tool. There are hundreds of best practices configured for your image. If you need to tune your image, go use this tool. It's really, really good. It's not perfect, but it's by far the best optimization script out there. We tried to compare it with other solutions out there. It does come close. This is so thorough. This is really, really good. And it really analyzes your system. And you can actually, now everything is blue, but if it's orange, you know that those settings were not applied. So hundreds of settings. Of course, we didn't test them all, but it's really, really easy. So what kind of settings were there? Well, there were like settings for HiveKey current user. And what we'd actually do, and by the way, this is a comparison, you saw all those graphs, and we have so much information we chose for the real deep dive to change the way we present the data. So we want to make it absolute because we have such precise data. So what we do is when we look at CPU utilization or I/O or megabyte throughput, whatever, is that we take a region and we calculate the average. So we show you the numbers instead of the graph. So you understand why we make the difference absolute and not just graph, but really make it a number. Because if the differences are small, you cannot see it in the graph. You have to make it a number, an absolute. And we calculate the average of this portion of the graph. So this is an example. And actually, this is a great example. Because if you see Windows 10, and we tested here with PCIe over IP, we noticed that some tests were better to run it with a remoting protocol. If you do no tuning, which is orange, and compare that to fully tuned image with OSOT, the tool from VMware, VSI Max went up by 44%. We've seen higher results in other environments. So tuning makes a huge difference. Remember that we tune everything. You need to make choices. One of my favorite functions, well, actually my lifesaver, is indexing. And indexing is an important feature, and we tuned everything just for comparison to learn, right? But VSI Max went up by 44%, so 44% more users. Utilization for all the VMs went down by 28%. Overall processor time. So this is truly the VM utilization, but VMware has a lot of additional processors running. So the total processor time on a host level is down by 11%. The IOs is interesting, not a big difference. Interesting is not a good word. It's like, we're like, huh? What? There's a huge difference in VSI Max. And VSI Max doesn't lie, ever. And then we don't see a big profile change in IO, right? So commands, IO reads, IO writes, megabyte throughput, reads and writes. Not big differences. Okay, so let's drill down and try to better understand how OSALT is working. And all the, and we it's just, there are hundreds of best practices here. So you can imagine we're not tested every individual one. So what we did is that we decided, as you can see, there's all kinds of sections. And so we tested this section by section. And I'm not going to dive in all the details, but we tested section by section to investigate what is the difference. So first, we tested Hive Key Current User. And actually, you can see it's already a lot of settings. So the default view, autoplay, disable autoplay, disable feedback, and a lot of visual effects. And as you can see, it's pretty important. But there's one setting that we didn't tune. Also, we tested it also. That's clear type. Clear type, the difference between clear type enabled or not, this is of course is clear type is disabled, and this is clear type enabled. Clear type is one of those settings that you really, really care about. Because your end users, if they look at the Windows 10 desktop and clear type is not enabled, they feel warped back 10 years ago. This is really, it's not a good user experience. You get unhappy, it feels really old school immediately, like back 10 years ago. So we tested 100% is OSALT full tuning. So we enabled all the tuning. And then orange means that we did full tuning, but we only enabled clear type. So everything is tuned, but just reviewing the impact of only clear type. And then what we did was testing all the user settings, so all these visual settings, what the overall impact is. And you can see from a VSI Max perspective, fully tuned, clear type only has 2% impact. If we tune all the user settings, it has 6% overall impact. So you'll get 6% less users if you leave enabled all those visual settings. They're mostly visual settings. Also, what you see here, I didn't explain that, I apologize for that, is that we do 10 test runs. And the more stable this number is, the lower it is, like 5%, that's a good indication that the system is performing like super smooth. But if you do 10 test runs, you get more variation, your VSI Max goes down, you get a higher variation. So this also tells you, like, is there an urgent bottleneck happening? And this is then happening on the CPU level. So you can also see that the CPU is clearly higher for all the visual settings when you enable all the visual settings. So interesting results. And the important lesson is, clear type, please don't touch it. Yeah, that it's not worth the 2%, and I think it will make your users very, very happy, and it's only 2%, so not a bad idea. Yeah. That's true. ClearType was a huge impact for applications because you get more throughput, or not huge, but bigger. But the reality is that the majority of our applications are not regular WinForm applications anymore. So the majority of our applications are like Office and stuff like that. It's not regular WinForm anymore. So changing clear type doesn't make at all a big difference anymore because we're consuming already so much more bandwidth because our applications have changed. So from a bandwidth perspective, it's not a big problem. But this is definitely worthwhile to further investigate. So then we look at Heitsky local machine settings. And again, this is a lot of tuning in here, a lot of tuning. We also disable Cortana. That's something you do on a local machine level. Like, how much overhead is it? These results are a little bit skewed because we didn't have internet connection. We didn't use internet connection because we want to have stable results. But you can imagine that if you disable Cortana, that's heavily connected to the internet, that Cortana is basically not working. So the impact of Cortana is a little bit smaller in this presentation than in the real world, because Cortana will use your internet connection and then become really active. So once we started testing this, again, full tuning means that we tuned everything, and and you can see it's like minimal impact, only 1%. And if we do no HKLM tuning, you see some weird shit happening because there are small changes to utilization, but they're not really, really big differences. Then if you move continue, and we talk about we disabling the features, so we see what the impact of that is. All those features, they call it like hibernation, for instance, and Oosted calls it the hard disk timeout for DC power, stuff like that. Many of these settings are, by the way, not performance-oriented. They're just to make sure that you have a good user experience in VDI, right? Hibernation is a performance thing, but also not very handy in a VDI environment. And as you can see, they have a very small impact. It's not that big of a deal. They're worthwhile. They make your VDI function okay, but they don't have a huge impact. If we then scroll down and disable scheduled tasks, and there are like 40 scheduled tasks in here. There's like you can do a lot more. OSALT only does this. You can do a lot more. I will talk about that later. But there are already 42 scheduled tasks disabled, like defrag, for instance. And you can see it has some impact, but minimal impact. So disabling scheduled tasks is worthwhile, but doesn't have a huge impact. When will scheduled tasks have a huge impact, like over the top important, in the middle of the night, when they all start happening at the same time? This is where scheduled tasks are really killing your performance. So tuning of scheduled tasks is really, really important, still also in Windows 10. Now, if we disable the services, and there are a lot of services, we get a little bit of it becomes really, really interesting. Because there are a lot more services on Windows 10. And we wanted to find out what the impact is if you leave them enabled. So we have three tests again. I apologize, this is like concentrate on the last hour of this event, but the gray bar is where everything is tuned. The orange bar is where only indexing, Defender, Windows Update Services, and Superfetch is disabled. But all the other services are enabled. And then we test with all the services enabled. So all the tuning is applied, but all the services are still enabled. And the results are all over the place. So, and we saw this weird result at the beginning, right? We didn't understand. Big difference in VSI Max and no difference in IO profile. So, VSI Max. When we only disable indexing, enable indexing, Defender, only disabled indexing, Defender, and WSUS and Superfetch, you see it go down by 4%. So all the other services only have a 4% impact. And these four services actually is this difference. So you go from 96 to 80, so 16% overall impact for indexing, search, Defender, antivirus, pretty important. Windows Update Services, please don't enable this one in your VDI environment. Well, enable it, but make sure you manage it. And Superfetch. But Superfetch has also a big impact because we see the I/O profiles all over the place. We have much higher I/O and lower I/O. Why is this happening? These are the smartest people in Germany when it comes to VDI, right? So what's happening right now here? Caching. Not caching, but close. It's compression, memory compression. So memory is actively compressed. And if you enable Superfetch service, it means that the amount of IOs are dramatically lower. Dramatically lower. So dramatically lower. And it has a huge, huge impact. So this means that disabling Superfetch has a real disadvantage. You win CPU performance, but your I/O footprint will be much bigger. And that's what you will do. If you have enough I/O if you have enough I/O capacity, you can do it. But you want to migrate to Windows 10, and your storage environment is not a modern one, and you're limited on capacity, you might consider enabling Superfetch algorithm to make sure that memory compression is happening, because it has a dramatic effect on IOs. Now, if you look at another one, it's like improve login times, which is, what, this is really cryptic, but actually this is called active setup. It's that little thing that's happened if you have a stateless environment, that's one of the first things that you tune. And it has become much bigger in Windows 10. The impact of active setup during logon is huge. And remember, these are stateful VMs with stateful profiles. So removing the active setup from the logon and make sure that just the IO, that the profile is just configured once and not every time the user logs on, has a huge impact, has a considerable impact. So we go down by 2-3%. And still, your IO writes are lower if you don't do tuning. If we look at remove applications, this is the improved login times, I think it's double. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I apologize. I make a little mistake. Sorry, Reinbeck, it's just been a couple of months since I've done this presentation. This was about OneDrive. I'm really confused, like, hey, wait a minute, I knew it was a bigger result. So it's about only this one. So we tested OneDrive. And OneDrive starts up on Windows 10. And this, even though we don't have any internet connection, if you remove OneDrive, you already increase capacity by 2%. And you have an impact. And this is with out an internet connection. I guarantee you that OneDrive client is pretty big on I/O and on CPU in practice. So then we talk about active setup. Okay, I apologize. Now we talk about active setup. And you can see there's a huge difference. I'm like, huh? So this is fully tuned. And this is with active setup enabled. And you can see it eats out a lot. I'm not going to say that because it's recorded. But it eats out a lot of performance. It's really important that you remove active setup from your login process. Now, this is also a very interesting one, because Windows 10 is also giving us the opportunity to have a new format of applications. It was introduced in Windows 8, and it's the modern apps. And we call it the Apps X applications. That's how we call it in this presentation. And this is like 3D Builder, and App Connector, and Bing Finance, and Bing News, and Bing Sports, and Bing Weather. And these run in the background. They have all widgets running and stuff like that. So you can imagine they have a big impact when you remove that. Now, please remember, this was tested without an internet connection. In practice, the impact is much bigger. We've seen in other customers, it's easily double what you see right here. Because then these widgets start running in the background, collecting information from, and they become active if there's an internet connection. So we tested three profiles. We tested first with the gray bar with everything disabled. And then we removed AppX. And we absolutely saw, it's like scaringly, we knew it from customers that has a big impact. And in our test, it didn't work at all. Like no difference. And then we tested again with background. The blue bar is actually we leave the AppX application enabled, but we disable the background services. You can see it has a small, but still very marginal impact, minimal. But what's happening here? We were super confused. And then we found out they made a huge mistake in the tuning template. Because when you run the OSL tool in your Windows 10 image, it removed the AppX application for the administrator, but not for all the other users. So VMware had been tuning VDI for 2 years, already also for Windows 8, and nobody discovered that they didn't remove it for all users. So you ran the script, but then another user logs on, and all the AppX applications, modern applications, are still there. So of course we tested again, and we can see a much bigger difference. So we tested again, and this is a little bit confusing because we actually tested also with a lot less memory. That's the orange one. Why did we do this? The difference, because they use a lot of memory, and we were good, thank you. And we found out that if we had 2 gigs of memory and we don't have an internet connection, it was only the memory that was eating up. Just so by lowering the amount of memory for the test and testing AppX with and without, we can make a comparison, and we make the system memory contented. And you can clearly see, if you compare Orange, where AppX is enabled, they have clearly a higher I.O. profile. They have a little bit of higher CPU profile, but mostly I.O. profile, because more paging is happening and stuff like that. And it has like a 5% impact, right? We go down 5%. Again, removing your AppX applications is a huge best practice for Windows 10. The majority of the apps are not used, to be honest, by the users, and you can remove most. Okay, we need a break, right? So much information. No, we're not. We have to hang in there. Okay, so visual effects. We're not going to explain you this, because this was also weird, because there was a section called visual effects. They removed it in a newer template. And it tuned the visual effects for the administrator that was creating the image, but not for all the other users. It didn't make any sense. So they removed that setting, because in the next template, it didn't make sense to have it in there. So I'm not going to show results for this. There's also other additional tests that we did. Who of you is running vSphere? The majority, yeah? Big majority. So one of the things that we were interested in, especially with Windows 10, is overcommitting still a good thing. And I think it can be done for worst-case scenarios, but genuinely, I feel that you should be very, very conservative with overcommitting. So if you run continuously overcommitted, even with moderate workload, right? Not everybody's in the office, it's not, you know, and it's like a normal day and you already run heavily overcommitted, maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe you should only use overcommitted for when suddenly everybody decides to come to the office because it's such a cool company and it was raining outside, or whatever reason, right? For peak usage. Because you can see, we did a test. We tuned the image to the bone and we just only make one change in each test. So first we had OSWOT full, where the memory is, I should have written down the memory here, it's 1780 megabytes of memory, 1780. Then we did a little overcommit, so we set all the VMs to 2 gigs, and then we did a pretty big overcommit. Like, this is like a 5 to 10% overcommit, this is not overcommitted at all. And this is with about 20% overcommit. And look at the differences, is that VSI Max clearly goes down. If you overcommit, 8% goes down. It's really interesting to see that you also get a different I.O. profile, but the difference, the variation in the test also becomes bigger. And maybe you're familiar with a thing like a Stau on the highway, in a German highway. So of course you have never Staus, but the problem with a Stau is that it's extremely unpredictable. And once you get to the close to the performance edge of the server and you're overcommitting, you will get a lot more variation in your performance. So what happens with a Stau is one day it's fine because we were lucky that nobody accidentally, like an old woman, she saw a bird and then hit the brake and nothing happens. You know, it's fine. So you can have the same amount of people on the highway, and you have no traffic jam. Then just one person is like, oh, a butterfly hits the brake, and you get very long traffic jams, and they escalate badly. And that's how bottlenecks also work in the real world. So overcommitting, please be very, very careful, because it will affect your VSI Max quite dramatically. Oh, there's a reason why these numbers are lower, by the way. Because we took a sample, but we took a sample after VSI Max was hit, and that's why some sessions were not recording anymore. They stopped, so that's why it's lower. Another very interesting thing is, like, indexing is a very important feature for Windows 10, for Windows in general, right? And if you don't have any antivirus solution running, Defender is not a bad choice, at least from a performance point of view. I cannot judge on Defender from how good it is from security, but from a performance point of view, it's pretty good. So we tested it. We tested the gray bar is Defender completely disabled. Then we enable Defender. We did a pre-scan of the image, tested blue, and we did without a pre-scan. And as you can see, without and with a pre-scan is not a big difference. But the overhead of Defender is only 5%. So if you don't have an antivirus solution and you need to choose Defender, actually pretty good. There are not a lot of antivirus solutions out there that will only impact performance by 5%. Typically, you'll get up to 10, or if you choose the wrong one, 30%. We did some white papers about this topic. So, but of course, if you enable your Defender, your IO profile will increase again. So we also tested Office 2016. Thank you. We also tested Office 2016 because all our tests were done with Office 2013. And we were hopeful there was a difference. And actually, we tested this in direct desktop mode, so without a remoting protocol, and they were like 100% identical. So it's not bad news. But we were not sure of the results. Because in practice, it feels that Office 2016 is a little bit more bloated. So we also tested with a remoting protocol. And this is super, super interesting. Some of you are using Vue, and this is one of those few differences that is only applicable to Vue, because VMware people actually told me that Microsoft is better at remoting Office than PC over IP. So when we tested Office 2013, moving to 2016, but now we use RDP, you can see that VSI Max goes down by 10%. So be aware, if you're running Office 2013 and you're upgrading to 2016, it will probably cost you performance, and even more if you're not using RDP as a protocol. So you have to test it yourself. Superfetch and memory compression, I already talked about it. The difference is huge. So we did a test where we just have everything tuned and we only enabled Superfetch. So like I said, the impact of Superfetch and memory compression is like 6-7%, but your I/O profile is dramatically lower. Great solution to lower your I/O profile if your storage is a bottleneck. Much better. So if storage, by the way, is your bottleneck, you should upgrade your storage. Think about flash or something like that, because your people, Windows 10 loves flash, and old school storage feels extremely old school. It's like enabling ClearType and give users a resolution of 640 by whatever, 480. We tested the Vue client debugging tool that used to be a best practice in Windows 7. OSOT already removed it, and we were curious, like, why is the debug settings not applicable for Windows 10 anymore? And actually, we disabled debugging, and it only gave adverse effects, so we definitely got a lower VSI max. We did fake space. One of the tunings that we learned with Windows 7 is to fix the page file, to set it to 2 gigs. It still can be a best practice, but at least we see that actually it can actually have a little negative impact if you fix the page file. Of course, it becomes a little bit different if you really are memory contented, because then the page file starts writing again. But in normal operation, it's actually smarter to not fix the page file. Small impact, and you can see it's mostly a CPU thing. It's only a very small thing. But this is really interesting, because we have so many more best practices we found in all those years. So actually, you can download this. You can go to our website, and you can download for OSOT, the for the OSOT optimization tool, you can download the VDI Like a Pro template. There are a lot more settings in there, And we wanted to know if we already can take this excellent tuning tool and make it better. And yes, we can. By tuning the living daylights out of it, we increased VSI max by 3.5%. Utilization went down by 6-7%. Commands went down, and overall I/O profile was even 10% lower. So get the profile, go to our website, download it, it's free. You just email address and then you can get it. It's a great additional tooling tool. There's one big gotcha, please don't do it blindly. There's everything in there. One of the worst best practices is to get a tuning template from Login VSI and say, I'm gonna tune everything and not think about what I'm tuning, right? Not just if index or search, but also like maybe you need a specific functionality. So you need to think about what you're doing before you do it, please. Okay, so some people asked about it. What are the VSI max? Without that in direct desktop mode, we got 187. With RDP, we got 166. With PC over IP, we got also 166. And this was, by the way, with RDP 7. So PC over IP did pretty good in here. We do have some recommendations. I have to go to them quickly because I think I'm over time, right? So please use OSOT. Check out, if you want to understand best practices, check out Virtual Feller. He explains a lot. Ensure the HiveKey current user settings are applied. Use RES or Absence or whatever, because they are applied even better. Because this is really important. These HiveKey current user settings are only applied to new users. So if you already have a profile, all that tuning doesn't apply. That's why you need to configure it in a tool like RES. By the way, what we also did was a check disk on our master image. And we, because we did so many tests, up to two times, we got an error that gave us trouble. So every time you create an image, probably it's fine, you don't get any check disk errors, but once in a while we did. So it's worthwhile to run check disk and make sure before you clone it out to even four. Okay, so much more. Remember, this was stateful versus stateless. I already explained this. Stateless means that the results difference are even bigger. Overall, the conclusion is the impact on memory is pretty big with Windows 10. You need more memory. The impact on storage is pretty big, but you can solve this with a better storage solution. If you then have enough memory and enough storage, of course, then CPU becomes your main bottleneck with Windows 10. So please remember that. And the most important thing is that you start testing yourself. Because your own applications will behave differently, maybe in Windows 10. You have your own configuration, your own antivirus solution. And it's really, really important if you roll out to Windows 10 and you want to scale up, and you don't want to find out halfway your project that you undersized it or underestimated it. And of course, you can buy twice the amount of hardware, but that's very expensive. It doesn't need to be like that. So it's really useful to start testing and to figure out yourself how Windows 10 can be tuned best for your environment. I think that's it. A little bit over time. I thank you for your attention. If you have questions, you can do that afterwards. I think most of you want to go home and drink beers. And then I want to thank you for listening in the last session, and hopefully till next year. Thank you.